Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so we're back. As I was saying, we were having a little technical difficulty, so we were off the air for about 15 minutes, but now we're back on the air, so we're going to finish with prayer. Father God, we glorify you and we magnify you. We thank you for every father on this earth. We thank you for those that are here and those that have passed on. We even thank you for those to be. We thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for being our Father. Well, I am so glad for those of you that have called back in. I'm glad for those of you who were with us earlier and those of you that will listen via Blog Talk in a future. I just want to share a few verses with you before I begin. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. And the Lord's slave must not engage in heated disputes, but he be kind toward all, an apt teacher and patient, correcting opponents with gentleness. Perhaps God will grant them repentance and then knowledge of the truth, and they will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap where they are held captive and to do his will, talking about the will of the Lord. And here's a few more scriptures I want to share with you before we get into the word. Galatians 5 and 23, gentleness and self-control, against such things there is no law. And then Matthew 11 and 29, take my yoke on you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Did you hear that? That you can find rest for your souls. Just think about that. Being in God and with God and being able to find rest for your soul. Do you know how many people are walking around and they don't have peace on today? Those that are dealing with various things, dealing with fathers or being a father or absentee father or present father or whatever it is that they're dealing with concerning fatherhood, I just want to tell you this one thing. When we learn the importance of our relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there's no father ever, ever, ever been invented or birthed that is greater than the Father of Fathers. And so before I'll get into some of the things that I want to talk about, I'm going to turn it over to Minister Kaiser. But I wanted to say this before I turn it over to him. There's something about doing things in excellence. And I went to church with Minister Brandon on yesterday. And one of the things that I noticed was a lot of times when I go to some churches, the choir director, the choir members, the praise and worship team, the band players, they're not only gifted in that skill, but sometimes they love to showboat. It's all about them. They arrive late. When they're up there, it's like so much flesh in it. And God really ministered to me during the minister of the worship. And God reminded me how important it is to make sure that during the worship service, not only the people that are in the audience, but the people that are on the stage or on the platform or in the pulpit, how we have to be assured that it's about the Father. It's about worshiping him in spirit and truth. For they that wish to worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so on today and every day, when you're given the mic, when you're given the stage, when you're given the platform, make sure that it's pure. Make sure that it's about God. And if you have a problem with it being about God, then just go to him and ask him to help you to decrease so that he can increase. That's all I have for right now, Mr. Kaiser. You can go ahead.
Sure. I'll be coming from Acts, the 9th chapter, starting at the 1st verse. Meanwhile, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or the women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." He replied, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Paul, they're speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Jesus got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see. So they led him by hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple called Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Paul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. Come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument. You proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placed his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. So this is the story about the conversion of Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul and wrote most of the books of the Bible. And it gives his background in history, where he was a person who went out to arrest and persecute Christians. And he was the person who lived against the early church, and God appeared to him and caused him to repent from that, and even became a preacher of the gospel himself. And the reason why I'm mentioning the scripture is for us to have a reminder to bless those that curse us, and to pray for those who use us, and for those who persecute us, because this may be the plan God has for me. We should even pray that those who would try to persecute us, or even those who don't believe us or feel as though they're against us, that we pray for God to rise up a Paul in their midst. You know, let's rise up a Paul, no matter who they are, no matter what they believe. You know, whether it's a Paul of America, or a Paul who came out of atheism, or a Paul who might have been a person who was in ISIS or something like that, that we would pray for that, because we have to remember that the fight isn't against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And how, you know, we have to just have that mindset. And even we look at how Saul was blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink anything. And it's just like the death and resurrection of Jesus. That, you know, he, just as Jesus was in the ground for 3 days, Saul was blinded for 3 days and was not, you know, and his eyes in a sense were dead, but they were, his eyes weren't brought back to life until the third day, and so that he could be able to see light again. And represents how Jesus went into the darkness for 3 days. And during this time, God had spoke to Saul. And sometimes we got to pray for God to speak to our enemies, you know, to speak to them so that they may be delivered. You know, our thoughts shouldn't be, you know, hate our enemies. Our thoughts should be to love our enemies. If Christ loved us, because when we were in sin, we were enemies to God. And so, you know, just have that mindset to love our enemies, to pray for their deliverance, and understand that sometimes God may have us, just as he had Ananias, provide healing to someone who may have been an enemy or may have been persecuting us, that we have to learn how to obey God and not go off of what we think would happen or what we know. You know, there's nothing wrong with realizing that a person might have been an enemy, but we can't be too cautious for God. You know, we have to learn how to follow him wholeheartedly and do what he says wholeheartedly. And as Ananias was being obedient to the Holy Spirit, and he went and he healed, or he, the Holy Spirit through him healed Paul and restored his eyes, his sight, and Saul and even became imparted with the Holy Spirit. And so that's all I have, Apostle Elect.
Thank you, Minister Tizer. I thank God for Minister Tizer reminding us the importance of being willing and an obedient, because being willing and obedient to God means that you'll do what he says, when he says it, and how he says it, to whomever he says it. And like Minister Kaiser said, even if it's to someone that you would deem to have been an enemy or that has wronged you. James 3, verses 13 through 18 says, who is wise? Who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with the meekness of wisdom. But if he have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is shown in peace of them that make peace. Let's read verse 17 again. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, and full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I was talking to Minister Brandon, and I had said to him something that the Lord had placed on my heart, and I had told him that I was going to pray for God to give him wisdom in relationships. And God took me even further in the prayer and said, pray for wisdom in relationships and in life. And then when Minister Kaiser started talking about God sending the man of God to another, a man that had previously been that of the person that would persecute and have done others wrong, it reminded me how on our jobs, in our personal relationships, in our families, in the churches, in the classroom, the various places that we are, God will send us to entreat others. And it may be those that have had ill motives towards us, but God will still send us in love and in gentleness and in wisdom and in peace in order to show them that it's not that we're not courageous, but it's that we are meek, meaning that we know how to come in a situation and not have it be about our strength, but about the strength of the Lord. Because the strength that we have grows old, because these bodies that we have can be strong today and feeble tomorrow. And this wisdom that we have today can be great today, and on tomorrow you're searching for the very words to say, whether it's dementia, Alzheimer's, or just plain old being caught up in your feelings and not knowing what to say because you still want to speak with the pure wisdom of God and not out of your vain ambitions or selfishness or jealousy or out of the various things in life that could happen to you. And one of the things that I've learned is that sometimes in relationships with our fathers and our mothers and various people, we really have to learn how to be in love and walk with love and be a picture of God's love and still stay pure in our relationship with God. Because the enemy knows how to use various situations and circumstances that are pretty petty to make it a big thing. And so there's a spirit of manipulation from the White House to the various places that's in America that we need to pray about, because we don't have to walk around in manipulation in relationships and leadership and any of those things. What we need to do is walk around in the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is gentle. The wisdom of God is reasonable. The wisdom of God is merciful. The wisdom of God is pure. The wisdom of God is eternal. It's compassionate. It's unwavering. It's impartial. And as God said, it's without hypocrisy, meaning it doesn't have to be masked to make it look like you're trying to do one thing when you're trying to do another. You know, it's not manipulative. It's not adversarial. It's not something that is selfish. It's not something that's jealous and lacks wisdom because it's walking in a type of arrogance. We have to remember that God tells us that his wisdom isn't puffed up. His wisdom is truth. His wisdom is that will cause that disorder, that evil that someone else may be using towards you, that manipulative disorder of behavior, that whether it's being spoiled or whether it's just being someone that tries to use situations and circumstances to manipulate in a relationship. We have to realize that a harmonious relationship that has God first will always evolve and involve God's word, God's love, and God's wisdom. And when the relationships that we're in, whether it's with our parents or with a man or a woman or a child or a colleague, whoever it is, there's a thing about commitment and compromise that can be good or bad. So we have to ask God for the wisdom of when we're compromising Is it compromising the truth? Is it compromising the integrity of who God has called us to be? Is it compromising our relationship with God? Or is it compromising to a point that we're not being selfish and we're learning how to give a little and take a little in order to allow a relationship to grow, in order to allow growth and maturity in our lives? One of the things that we have to be assured of is that when we walk in the wisdom of God and the maturity of God, the relationships that we're in, not only will they flourish, but they will flourish in and with God. So as I said, my prayer is not only for Minister Brandon, but also for myself and for others, that we will learn how to have relationships, not just that relationship of intimacy or that relationship of that person that's a husband or a wife or a future husband or wife, but all that we entreat and all that we need will be that's focused on God. And I appreciate the fact that a number of people that I have been introduced to have good things to say about Minister Kaiser, and that really blesses me. And what blesses me the more is that God reminds me that even with all of the things that the people are saying, that his life shows that of someone that's committed to God. And so does your life show wisdom that just like a vapor that goes away? Or does your life show the wisdom of God, that of commitment to God and pleasing God, and that nothing and no one can tear apart that three-strand cord that God will give you, not only with him, but in a relationship? So on today, if you haven't heard anything else, hear how Minister Kaiser allowed the Lord to speak to him and through him about us being used by God even to bless and to convert those that may have been an enemy to God as we once were. And then remember that the wisdom of God, not just the PhDs, because God will allow us to get a PhD, not just the MDs, but the wisdom of God that's eternal can help us through any and every circumstance in life. Seek God for his wisdom. That's all I have, Minister Kaiser. Okay, I guess
that.
Minister Kaiser. Go ahead, Minister.
Yes. So, well, now I'll give the announcements. On tomorrow, we have Smile 3 present Iron Sharpening Iron, and it will be the third Monday. So, we'll also let you know who will be the speaker for the third Monday.
On the third Monday is usually Apostle, right?
Yes.
And so when it's not Apostle, we know to be there ready to minister just in case. So as usual, you and Minister Sylvia can check with Apostle to see who the speaker is, if it's her or if she's going to ask one of us to do it. Okay.
All right. And then on Fridays, we'll have Elder Kathy Kimball with Dot Still Hills at 10 p.m. And what you're listening to right now is Smile 3 and Flood's Thoughts with me, Minister Brandon Kaiser, and Apostle Cecilia Kaiser at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. So, Lord, we thank you for today's service. We pray and ask that you would be with us throughout the week, Lord. Remind us to, continue to pray for and love our enemies, and even pray for those who we have disagreements with, that we may be in unity and not embrace division, Lord. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And don't forget our foundational scripture, Matthew 6:33, and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Until next time, bye-bye, and God bless you.
Bye-bye.